July 13th, I think, somewhere right around there, and an interview with Charlie Hickok and Cheryl Clue.
Clee.
Okay. And since I don't know much about your guys' background and how you got to Shannon, maybe you could start by telling me a little bit about that.
Okay.
I don't know which one of you wants to start.
When I went to college in the early 70s, I had friends that were interested in
living
communally or starting. A couple of them
graduated before I did,
and moved out to start a community in
British Columbia,
Hornby Island. And I had an opportunity to
visit them a couple of times.
Really liked the area and
the idea of
living together, but I didn't move there. And
then I
went to graduate school in Boston, fell in with a group of people who were forming a
group down in
Virginia, and I
decided to come down and
see the land they just bought.
Okay.
I went back to Boston.
Finished my graduate school.
And moved
down here after graduate school.
Some of those friends from Boston are still members, and some
are not,
but live in the area.
Yeah.
And some want to go down.
Okay. So what year was that when you first came down to Land?
74.
74. Mm-hmm. And at that point, were you really talking to it? You knew that this was something you wanted to do?
Yeah, because I mean,
there's two
strings to the attraction.
Is that
the living with a group of people
and getting connectable
and doing things collectively,
that
excitement, but then there's also the excitement of
land.
Yeah.
And I think coming down here, that sort of made the decision for me.
Mm-hmm. And before you studying in graduate school?
I think architecture.
So did you know that that was something you could do when you came down here, or was that kind of a leap of faith to come down here?
Well,
I spent a summer down here
before I actually moved in. And
it turned out to be very handy because I prepared the master plan for the community to the community, local authorities.
Mm-hmm.
That's this concept of living in housing clusters.
Yeah, I was curious about that. I've been to lots of communities, and this is the first time I've seen that cluster concept.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you come up with that?
Well, it was part of
what I was learning in school,
but also part of how people want
to live here.
Mm-hmm.
And of course,
at that time,
what they were comparing
different
living arrangements with, there wasn't anything
such as co-housing.
That concept had evolved. But we did
have the model at Twin Oaks,
and
we saw that Twin Oaks was more of a
more tightly integrated,
more focused
living space,
and
everybody lived in collective or communal houses, whereas
and at that point in time,
Twin Oaks didn't allow children.
Mm-hmm.
We already had families with children.
And
there was more of a desire to live, to have the option open of living with
families.
And I think that housing cluster
idea
sort of
facilitated that.
And
over the years,
we had a
few good houses, but
by and large, it's mostly
single families.
Mm-hmm. So you actually moved down here in, was it 76?
77.
Well, actually, I moved down in 77.
So, at that point, you know, pretty early on, were there very many dwellings when you
came down? No.
There was the main house,
yeah,
and there was a house up here that burned.
Mm.
When was that?
75.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Yeah. Wow. So you were part of the whole building process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that must have been pretty intense, I imagine.
Well,
we learned a lot over the years.
Uh-huh.
main house is we made a lot of mistakes
on that house.
And, we built this house. I've been involved in a lot of building projects.
How about it? And the five houses, I mean, I imagine you had to build up the whole infrastructure too, so.
All the roads
yeah.
were put in. Were developed from old logging roads. We put in an
electrical system.
What about water?
Well, we got
a lot of wells.
Mm-hmm.
There were two existing water systems.
Now,
five or six water systems.
Mm-hmm.
And
one of the ideas was
the clusters was that a cluster could
share
a water system.
Mm-hmm. And does that work?
And that
works.
We've
got nine
dwellings in this cluster, and they share one. Sprinkles.
Is the water
safe?
It's great.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It's
yeah.
the best take of
water.
Great. And what do you do for it? Like, do you have a septic system, or how do you
mm-hmm.
do that?
Yeah.
And the original idea was, what we were hoping was that more than one house could share a septic system.
Mm-hmm. And we've actually got
one septic system here where there was
three houses sharing
one system. But then, since that time, county rules have
tightened up. That's
not as permissible.
Does each house have a septic tank?
Or they have to have a very,
if they're sharing one, it
has to be fairly large, so there's no real advantage sharing septic systems.
Mm-hmm. Do some people just use outhouses? Or does
pretty
much everybody have indoor plumbing?
Everybody
has a code house as a indoor plumbing.
Yeah.
But not everybody has a code house.
Well, there are some people that live in non-code houses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But do you not get hassled by the
no.
county? Or,
no.
Oh, that's good.
Well, they have studios and
art studios.
Oh, maybe where
they wouldn't find out about it.
Right.
Uh-huh. No,
the county has been
fairly lenient.
Probably due to
the fact that there's a lot of substandard housing.
Mm-hmm.
In comparison, our stuff
you
looks
look real
good.
Yeah. Well, the houses I've seen so far have all been beautiful. So
yeah, it seems like
you've
built some really nice homes.
Jenny explained a little bit about the legal structure when we were walking around today, but I didn't really fully grasp it. So, if one of you
might tell me a little bit
about how you own the land and the dwellings there. How you keep things up. That would be great.
The Shannon Farm Association, Inc. owns everything.
Mm-hmm.
We don't
individually own
our own houses. We have leaseholds. Well, people have
leased
leases on their houses for their
the duration of their lives.
And at that point, it reverts back to the community. We can't, children can't inherit houses.
Okay.
Come in here. Well, I guess they can, but there's
no.
They have to be members to own a house.
They can't really inherit.
They could sell the house
to another family member,
but they can't live there unless they're members of the
house. Mm-hmm.
So if you guys wanted to sell your house, you can sell it to somebody.
We can sell it to another
Shannon member.
Can somebody become a member before owning
a house? Yes.
They have to be a member before they own the house.
Got it.
Okay. And can you get the market value for your house?
Well, that's the thing, is that
Shannon, you build on Shannon, it's not
a real estate
deal.
Uh-huh.
It's a money loser.
Okay.
And so people who are thinking of
doing
investments, they don't build.
They build their house on Shannon,
and then they'll buy and sell houses.
Outside clients.
They don't buy this for an investment.
Yeah.
In other words.
Yeah. But the idea is that we don't want to make it so prohibitive
that they
can't leave Shannon. They feel like they're tied here.
So
there is something called a guarantee
that
if they decide to leave, they will get
a certain amount of
money.
Value of their house.
That Shannon
will
pay them.
So they can get a start somewhere else.
But there's only four houses.
They have each
other 26 houses.
Yeah.
Do you have to apply for that? No, to get a guarantee.
You can have it if you want it, but the downside of that is that if you sell your house,
if you have to sell your house,
you have to give 5% of
the
sales price back to Shannon.
For
the luxury of having that guarantee back.
Right.
And the guarantee
isn't all that great a deal. It says that Shannon
will pay back
over a certain, you know, there's no
time limit for how long
Shannon can pay back. At this point, only three houses have turned over. And none of that.
I got to.
And they've been able
Karen,
to
sacrifice it.
She didn't exercise her guarantee.
I know, but
she did have a guarantee. So she had to pay sacrifice.
So we don't have much experience with this. The house is turning over.
So people come here and they stay here.
Yes, they must be
happier. Or else feel like they can't leave or something. Well, that was one of the reasons for the guarantee, was that
people wouldn't get stuck here.
But if you leave, Shannon,
the most you're going to get
is
60% of, what is it, $85?
The value of your house. You can't, it's not like you can make money on your house. So it's definitely a money-losing proposition.
Mm-hmm. It's not, well, some communities I've visited, you can't get any equity at all, so at least you can get some out.
Right.
Yeah.
We pushed for that before we built.
Mm-hmm.
It was just too
restrict it. I mean,
you know, you can't
predict the future.
You don't know how you're going to
feel 10 years from now.
And
there should be a way, an easy way out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes sense. So Cheryl, how did you come to Shannon? John, who you're going to interview at?
No.
John and I came to we're involved with a group of people in
New Haven
called Alternative Community.
We actually
bought the land. Some of our group
kicked out here
in 73.
Scouted that land.
We decided to move to Virginia because of
Twin Oaks and other communities here at the
time. And
that's a
And mostly because
the zoning ordinances were so loose here
and people didn't
want to stay.
Most of our group was from New England.
And our group actually did.
We did divide and
part of the group went to Maine and they
stayed together 6 months
and split up.
And the other half
of the group came down here.
We didn't because John
and I were finishing up school in
New Haven, so we didn't move down until
74,
summer of 74.
We bought the land.
I think February of 74.
You were here at the very beginning then.
Yeah. Well, can you talk
a little bit about what it was like
at the beginning, like how you lived?
We did eventually
all live together in one house while you were building houses.
We lived in
Charlottesville at first because there were only two houses out here. We moved out here
the spring of
75.
We lived in a tent.
There were basically
there was a group of about
12 adults that did
income sharing and
child care. Doing child care and,
we cooked together and
ate together.
And gardens together.
The first year we were here. And some of the people worked
at Charlotte. Some of the people
just stayed out here.
On the farm?
There were, we had, at that point,
like 5 or 6 kids.
Yes, ages 5 or under. And the reason we did Shannon was because
we met more people at the
Twin Oaks Conference in 73.
Felt that
Twin Oaks was not a place at the time
they would take any of their children. But it wasn't children friendly. And
so we decided to start our own. That's the genesis of which became Shannon.
Mm-hmm.
And
was the original idea to be an income sharing community like Twin Oaks? We tried it didn't work.
Uh-huh. There were too many people
with diverse
lifestyles that we never could agree on a common
purpose
in terms of income sharing. It was just too difficult. Some people had money, some people didn't. It got
to be
really hard.
People with kids
wanted to spend money. You know, sending
their kids to private school.
And the group didn't want to. There were a lot
of problems with that,
so we stopped doing that pretty early on.
How long did the income sharing phase last?
Until the fire.
In 75, about
6 months, so.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then we had fire.
We basically had two houses. We were building a
group house
down in Monacan.
And we had a
house up here
that has a chimney fire in the house burned down.
We were all
at the
first house having a meeting about who was going to
live where.
And some neighbor came running up
and said, there's a fire up here.
This whole house burned. The house burned
down. So
at that point, I think seven people
didn't have any place to live.
Wow.
It was pretty heavy.
So people had to move off
the farm. And
that must have been really discouraging.
It was very discouraging.
Because we made one land payment.
We didn't know where the next payment was coming from.
That
was only put the land on the market because we weren't sure we were going to stay
here.
Oh,
wow.
Mm-hmm.
We managed to raise enough money
to make a second payment. We're making
$50,000 a year payments at the time. And by the third year,
we
managed to get a mortgage. So things really
eased financially for us now.
The first 2 years were
pretty
hairy.
Like,
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't get a mortgage because you weren't a typical...
We weren't a typical group.
Group, whatever.
They weren't sure what we were...
Yeah, didn't have a new bank.
Started in the county, and they're the ones who gave us the mortgage.
Uh-huh.
So that was good for us and good for them.
Because we're all as banked
with them. Mm-hmm. So they managed to
pick up 20
you know, customers and...
They took a risk on
us. And we pay off the mortgage
anyway.
We had a 10-year mortgage.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
So, does each household pay a tax to the community?
We have dues.
Mm-hmm. People pay 7% of their after-tax income.
And when they've been here
12 years, they pay 5% of their after-tax
income. Mm-hmm. And the money goes to things like roads?
Goes to common fund, yeah.
Roads, infrastructure.
Tractor.
We just bought a new tractor.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully community center.
The pond.
Yeah. Do you have a community center?
No.
But you want to go work there?
So, like, when you get together and have group meetings, where do you do it?
Down at
Monikin, which is not big enough.
Down at where?
Monikin.
That's the name of the house? Yeah.
The first place.
First house when you come in.
Mm-hmm. So that, like, group house, it's where a bunch of people live together.
There's only three group houses.
One in Shannon.
And the other two. There's Beach and Haiku.
Yep. I went to Haiku.
Okay. Uh-huh. There's only three people.
Well, I guess there's four, sort of, in Haiku
right now.
Mm-hmm. Kind of.
The group. Group house hasn't
been that successful at Shen,
because we only have two.
Well, I think it's also
the nature of the group house
is to be somewhat
successful, or
not so successful, somewhat successful. I mean, I guess there
are lots of flows.
And right now, the group living in
Martin
is actually
doing pretty
well. Well, for 2 more months, and then Karen and Ellen are moving into
that.
Right. But in comparison, a year ago or something.
But it's nice enough to even have a group at All Shannon meeting there.
Sort of. Not everybody comes to the All-Shan meeting, so
far.
Everybody came. It'd be pretty tight.
Yeah. How often do you have meetings?
We have monthly meetings.
Has it been like that
business meeting
from the beginning?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We also have various committees during the month.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so
you're likely
to meet with
fellow members like
2 or 3 times
a month, plus
the monthly meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's lots of meetings.
And how do you make decisions? Do you use
consensus? The
mm-hmm.
C.T. Butler. We're trying the C.T. Butler method.
Well, we're adapting.
Do you know? Are you familiar with?
I've heard the term, but I don't know the process. I mean, I know consensus process, but I don't know Butler's version.
Okay. Well,
we're trying his
model, or trying to adapt his model.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been doing that for about 2 years now, to varying degrees.
Yeah.
I think it's actually made our decision making. Better.
Not perfect.
But better. Have you used consensus practice all along?
No.
No. What did you do in the beginning?
We had a majority rule
that didn't work very well.
Mm-hmm. When did you switch to consensus?
Fairly early on. I mean, what we call
consensus.
What would you say, 76?
No.
No?
No. I wouldn't say we started consensus
till back 1980.
Okay.
Remember?
But in other words, you used majority rule for a few years and then switched to consensus.
Yeah, it was very contentious because the people that spoke the loudest, were the most vociferous, were the ones that got their positions across. Other people felt,
which
is a term that got used a lot at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you switched to consensus?
Well, we felt there
had to be a better way than
it was working, because we had some pretty bad meetings.
Ugly.
I mean, verbally ugly, never.
Physically.
We would have these incredibly long meetings that would last, it started
until
midnight.
Well.
And they were just...
It just got crazy.
Yeah.
So
we... Because it had to get away.
Sure. In those
early times,
when you were just building all the dwellings, did you eat together, like in that common house, the
Monikin?
Well, I remember eating in Monikin.
Yeah, but see, what there was Corinne.
He's no longer here.
Built Bob Elcox built
the first house,
and he built his house pretty early,
75
or 76.
Mm-hmm.
And then Corinne
built
it 76, 77.
It was much later than that.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't.
Corinne, I went down in 77.
Yeah.
Corinne had, because her house wasn't even thought of until 79.
Yeah, her house was
Barbara's husband's here. 78.
Well, I remember because when I moved down
here,
I mean, I was involved with all these houses.
You mentioned
at Burns' house you were.
Yes, I was.
You didn't design Burns' house.
I didn't design it, but I worked on it.
That was 77.
You just said 75, 76.
No, I said Burns' house was 75, 76. Burns' house.
Burns' became a member at 76.
So it would have been 77.
I mean, it doesn't matter one way or the other, but.
It was in the first 10 years.
When I moved down here in the summer of 77. There were no houses under construction. Well,
no, actually, it wasn't. Because I was living in a tent
there.
I thought you lived in the tent
summer.
The summer before that.
No. Summer of 77?
Well, then you started right after that.
Yeah. So.
No,
okay. So.
Well, we can find bad houses.
Well, I was just asking if you shared meals in that common house.
Yeah, that was.
I remember Aggie and I, when we were living in the woods, we came down and and then as other houses built,
people got a little
more dispersed and they would share meals
with other houses.
But usually the people that got first houses, they were very meal sharing and stuff. So
Colin Joe
always had people over for dinner.
I think you're wrong. I think you said you earlier. I'm not going through this when we split up.
We split up.
No, but I moved down here in
77.
Okay. But in
78,
John was starting. Well, John and I split up. Lori was already and Barbara's house was already built.
You remember
what happened? Paul and Joe's house?
In 79, we got our divorce.
79 was
when John's house was built.
79, John got our divorce.
So we just split up a year at that point. He's got the divorce paper.
I know, but I know when I worked on him.
Okay.
We didn't do a lot on you.
No, I know, but
I think you're right in terms of when people's houses actually went on. But anyway.
How have you gone about sharing common chores? Because I'm sure there must be a lot of other chores. Road, upkeep, and...
I was on chickens.
Mm-hmm. You pay somebody.
Oh, do you? Yeah. I imagine you didn't.
We didn't. We used to, it used to be that you had to provide was a day and a half's wage a month
and a day and a half's labor a month.
The original
agreements and stuff.
And that fell by the wayside because people didn't want to put their day and a half worth of labor. But at the beginning, we did.
Everybody
was pretty conscientious about doing that. Within the first 3 years,
it was no longer. Mm-hmm.
So, do people
share the chores now?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's not as formally structured.
Cheryl,
for example, is the treasurer.
Mm-hmm.
So she's putting all the bookkeeping
for the farm. Other people, when it snows, they hop on the
tractor to plow the roads. Other people
take
care of the playground. We have a member
that mows the front.
Lawn.
I guess it's just more on an informal
basis.
Some people don't do any work at all.
A lot of people do a lot of work.
It's not as if each person has to do a certain thing. Because you said that went by the wayside after a few years.
Wow.
So is that an issue?
Well, yeah, I
would think it would be, yeah. Because some people
probably do not work and other people don't do any.
That's right. it's hard because we've got 60 members. And
of the 60 members, probably
a third of them.
We don't have a diversity.
They
live here, that's about it.
They don't come
to
social occasions. And it's kind of sad because that's
not right.
I think you're exaggerating.
I'm not exaggerating.
There
is a lot. That's about 20 people. I think that's not an exaggeration.
I can think of 20 people who don't even
socialize.
I can think of
a good number that I haven't ever seen.
Who? Jeff Gortz.
Jim Fleming.
Roseanne.
I saw Jim the other
day. Right.
Coming, I'm talking about coming,
participating in the community.
Coming to,
they never come to some meetings.
You see them very seldom
at sharing functions.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just saying, you'd probably
come up with 10, but...
No, I have more than 10. You have David Gorman.
Yeah, I've seen him...
Two or three times last week.
I've seen him driving around, but he doesn't
come to Shannon meetings.
I saw him at a Shannon meeting the other night.
Sure.
That was
only because he was coming home from work,
Charlie.
Well, he still stopped in and listened.
Well, he's not going to get his mail.
That's why he stayed. I mean, he doesn't
believe in coming to meetings.
Right.
But people do socialize with him.
I'm saying people I haven't seen.
We did a list. You know, we did a list of people in membership committee, and we figured about a third of the community was pretty much
less active than others.
Yeah.
That didn't participate in community things.
That didn't come to meetings.
Didn't socialize. I mean, you haven't let me go down the list. There's a lot more people, John.
Sorry.
We came up with about 20 names.
Of the 60 members?
Of the 60 ostensible members of Shannon.
What's your point, Shannon?
My point is
that a third of the community isn't active.
Well, I disagree.
Oh, you can.
You don't come to membership committee meetings and
don't talk about issues.
I think it's a question of what you call inactive.
What we call inactive are people that are way far behind in the queue. That's like 40% of the community right now
are inactive in terms of their dues payment.
We've got a third of the community that don't participate, that don't even participate in the Shannon process at all. So I think that
says something.
I don't know what it says. Our membership has also been shrinking. Trying to
make it easier for people that aren't
really here
to leave.
And we've instituted new guidelines in terms of membership.
Now, if you have pages
for 18 months,
you no longer a member. And does that mean you have to leave?
Like vacate your house?
Well,
these are mostly people that haven't built houses that aren't
really here.
But they've left, but they haven't withdrawn their membership. And six people in the last year have been
dropped as members.
Either because they wanted to, or they just, some of them actively said, I no longer want to be a member,
but
they just stopped paying dues.
We were here 18 months,
and we
no longer a member.
Uh-huh. And these are people that have houses.
Well, not all of them have
houses.
Well,
I've got a house.
She's
leaving Shannon. Other people didn't have houses.
These were people who
were tied by buying in.
These are people that
were part of relationships that left.
Roz is a good example.
Michelle's another good example.
Both of whom were married to, for whatever reason, they're leaving.
So it kind of,
it's more like a cleanup.
Mm-hmm. You know, because we keep carrying these people.
People were saying, well, we've got 70
members.
We didn't really have 70 members.
How many people actually live on the land?
I believe
actually live on the land right now.
Probably about
57, 56.
Just that adults.
But that's adult. That's adult.
Huh? Adult members.
Mm-hmm. Do you know how many people total?
Probably about 90 people.
Mm-hmm.
You tell all the kids and all the people that don't.
Yeah, you know, plays
mate.
He's not a member.
Here.
Just moved.
They just moved.
Yeah.
So, oh, so someone
can be a member and then
their spouse might not be a member.
Huh.
Well, this is
it.
An unusual situation.
Clay's been a member. She left to go to graduate school at Penn State.
And they
are there. They
have a child. And they moved
down here.
I don't know
what's going to happen, but
you know, they came down
together.
Are usually spouses are, they eventually become members.
But they're not required to by the bylaws.
No, you can live
as a
guest in a member's house
for 1 year
at no charge, and after that you have to pay $40 a month for the person living in your house.
So you can have people living with you that aren't
members.
We did that for the
parents, if they needed to come.
Right.
With their children, or
children that don't,
need to live with their parents.
This is the sandwich generation,
right? That's right.
But it tended to be people, mates.
Right. Can Shannon grow on any other additional house sites?
We have a few
additional house sites.
Mm-hmm. We have like four or five left.
Five house sites.
How many acres are there?
530.
Oh, it's a big chunk of land.
That's less than it was.
Yeah. Sure was a beautiful piece of land. So, would you say that most of the people who live here,
Shannon, I commute out for work?
Not anymore.
Well, this way. Uh-huh.
About half and half.
Uh-huh.
Or have there been any
cottages? Like the
Liz Hartwood.
Well, that's right. Yeah, Virginia Works.
Virginia Works.
Mm-hmm.
Here's our group of hammock
collective.
That we have hammocks for Twitter.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Starburst Deer Grip.
Is that you too?
No.
John, my ex-husband, right?
Uh-huh.
I guess you're talking to him tomorrow.
Used to be bigger. We used to have farmers.
We had up to six employees, but we've downsized.
Beaver County.
Starburst.
Mm-hmm.
What is
care
work do you do?
We do
software rehabilitation facilities
to track.
Cool. Yeah.
DOL, Department of Labor.
Starting to make a lot of regulations.
Uh-huh.
We track
clients' productivity.
Yeah. Oh, that's neat.
I guess you call them consumers now.
Yeah, right.
So
it keeps going through.
Yeah.
It's PC to say consumer.
Or they just call them men and women. They've gone from client to consumer to men and women now.
That sounds like consumer just seems so weird to me. That's because of the
California State
Supreme Court.
Called
consumers, and so most people just call them employees.
Okay.
When they say employee, they say
the capital E, so you know what they're talking about.
Right. That's
funny. Does the group garden together? No.
We have gardens
down at the most
people
like I've garden with Barbara. Charlie, I planted the corn.
So you have space for
Some people garden in their houses.
People garden in groups, and some people garden individually. Mm-hmm. Some people, you know, there's different kinds.
Mm-hmm. But it's not as if you have a big garden. Yeah, it's for everybody.
We had that at one point.
There used to be a group called
Mulch,
and they sold
fruits and vegetables
in DC. That was many years ago.
It wasn't a community garden.
It was two people.
Oh, it was a collective.
It was one.
That's funny because I think it was another community and they had a band that was called Hot.
A band,
yeah. And when people build their houses in China, do they build for energy efficiency? Is that a concern? Yeah. Are there, within Shannon, do you have your own Shannon building codes? Yes, we do.
Well.
We do, we have a housing committee that you have to have your plans
approved. I mean, we don't have any.
Our codes
we have
are
no
hard.
Trailers, for instance.
No double lines, kind of. Uh-huh.
Most people
have natural
yeah. houses. Don't look at me like that.
But that's not real like you don't look, because you guys, yours is painted, I think. It's nice cedar.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's stained.
Not stained. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, how does someone become a member?
One puts up a provisional membership
request, which
if
a third of our members
sign it, they become provisional
members.
And then
within a year, they can put up a
full membership petition.
Mm-hmm. 2/3
of the members sign that.
They become members.
As soon as they pay their dues. And
the idea is
that the community
becomes comfortable
with you.
And you become comfortable
with the community. Through this process,
people,
it usually weeds out bad matches.
Mm-hmm. So, like, for example, if I wanted to become a member, I can't go around and visit with
exactly.
people.
Yeah.
And then
they get to know you. You get to know them. They,
at that point, maybe
would consider signing your
petition.
So I would actually like bring a petition into the house and say, "Would you sign it?"
Yeah.
Well, that must be kind of awkward.
Well, we post it on the board. And
stuff. Okay, it's not
to
but okay.
Then
involved. It used to be that
all you had to do is put down your 4250 and you could be a member. And that.
We wound up with members
that people didn't really want. Just because,
they could
be a member. Because at the beginning, we were looking for money, so that was some pretty weird people.
Awesome group.
We had a conference, the first conference that we had, we said,
there's always people coming down from Boston,
and those of us that were
down here, there were like 12
of us down here, and there were like 30
people coming from Boston,
and we said they couldn't
come with 15 members,
so
we got them down to about 20 people.
That was.
And 20 of them became members?
Yeah, and I didn't. Mm-hmm. People didn't
stay members, they came
once. Oh, right. Never see them again.
Right. Now, how would you describe the original group in terms of its ideology or philosophy? I mean, were the people like left leaning?
We're all left Some of us from the SDS.
Mm-hmm.
People that
didn't want to
become part of the.
That's America.
Suburban
scene. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would
you say that the group had it? Common philosophy or spirituality or ideology, anything like that. I
don't think we
ever did. I think
that's what some people
miss
trying to achieve. We don't really have a common philosophy other than.
You know, the wheels don't seem to be turning. Maybe I will plug it in. Sometimes the battery goes low in the microphone. It's frustrating. I'm sorry, you can keep talking.
Sort of
I was asking about like common vision. And, is there some sort of a vision statement in your box?
Yes, you can read some of
the dance. Yeah, I'd like to see that. So you said now your people are wanting to have more of a
defined vision?
I think people miss not having a common
I mean, the only
common vision we have is the land.
Well, I
Cheryl, I disagree with that because it's not set down.
I mean, it is set down and works. There are common agreed to generalized statements.
When we first got here,
we saw a commonality among ourselves. The land.
Definitely being a big part of it.
Doing
things communally.
House construction, wanting to build.
Wanting to raise our
children
in different,
sort of alternative ways. We didn't have a guru.
We didn't have a...
We weren't all vegetarians.
Well, we all ate vegetarian. We did, but nobody smoked. Very much frowned on smoking cigarettes.
Right.
But
that's not a common vision.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Most of us came from
middle and upper middle class backgrounds.
Right. So there was a commonality,
I think, among people,
but it wasn't narrowly defined.
Started Shannon,
we were mostly white. What did your neighbors think of you?
Not much. I thought we were
communing
out sleeping in a pile.
Were you houseless at all?
By the neighbors or the sheriff or anything like that?
Well, the sheriff
used to wait outside of our driveway every April 15th.
Because that's when we had to pay the county tax.
And they used to get people coming out.
They didn't take your tags
or head out of state place.
For a while, they
made a lot of money off of us.
Oh, gosh. And then you got wise to what
right.
they were doing.
Well, then they all became registered voters. They were looking at
50
registered voters suddenly. You
know. We were lobbied.
We were lobbied, I bet.
Yeah, supervisor
you could be powerful,
candidates
right?
were coming and talk to us right
from the beginning.
We were Ron Roberts.
Coming in then. And so they,
Yeah, we tried to get people to register to vote from the beginning just because,
you're much more of a presence in a small community if you have a voice.
Yeah, sure. And have you developed any friendships or relationships with your neighbors?
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A lot of our neighbors
have died. A lot of people that own the property around here.
And they hold our
70s.
The people that live across the street
now
moved and bought
the land because they knew we were here.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
A guy named Mark Shannon
just built
a house across the road.
That's Debbie's.
Hargraves.
Do you have any rules about conduct? Like you mentioned before that you frowned on smoking, but did you ever have a rule about no smoking or a rule about drug use, a rule about alcohol, things like that?
We had a dog rule.
Rule about dogs?
Yeah, no more than 3 dogs at a time.
That's very long.
Well, yeah, I saw a lot of dogs
today, so
clearly that hasn't
happened. Well, let's talk about going back to that rule.
Dogs have been an incredibly contentious issue in the community. Has that been it?
It's not that bad.
We've had some
people.
It's a big deal. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard Andrew
squawking about that as much.
Well, recently.
Mm-hmm.
What? We had rules. We had,
no illegal drugs on land.
That's
a stated rule that we have.
We're used to having we have no smoking in
common areas.
So people that smoke cigarettes have to go outside.
Mm-hmm.
That certainly has changed. We have
a lot of cigarette smokers around now.
We don't have rules, we have agreements.
Agreements.
Guidelines.
Oh, okay.
Guidelines.
We have to rule.
Ruffles feathers
for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But if something was in your
bylaws, I suppose it would be considered a rule.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. We're still changing our
bylaws
to reflect what the community is. I mean, we had to have legal bylaws
and we incorporated,
and so we copied the bylaws of another company called North Mountain.
Those are
our bylaws for many years, and none of us had ever bothered to read them.
And then about,
about 5 or 6 years ago,
people started to say,
well, maybe we really should have
bylaws that reflect who we are. So we've been
trying
to
make our bylaws reflect
what the community is now,
rather than
what it was 22 years ago.
Yeah.
Which was never.
I mean, some of the stuff.
Didn't know bylaws were just for who.
Are these old bylaws or new bylaws?
These
are new bylaws. Thank
updated.
You very much.
Appreciate it. Oh, that's right. You got copies from visitors.
Oh, I know what I wanted to ask you about. When I was walking around, I saw some neat things that you as a community share, like the pond that you've put in, which seems like a really nice place to swim. What are some of the other things kind of like that?
Well, there's the pond, and then there's the area down by the swimming hall. I don't know if you saw that. There's a
sort of a
whole shed
shelter down there.
Sweat lodge.
Oh, neat.
And access to the river.
Mm-hmm.
And there's volleyball court.
Mm-hmm.
So we have our parties and celebrations
usually down there
during the summer.
During the summer.
Right. And then I think you mentioned there's a playground.
There's a playground down at the first house at my.
Mm-hmm.
And Monica and there's
a large
deck
that we built,
which is like a
common space. There's a place to hang out. We have meetings
on that deck.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much
it. And
the big common space we want to create
is this community center.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a struggle for the last two and a half
years to
get
the community
to make the decisions, get us further along in the process.
It's been a dream for at least for me since I came to Shannon. Since I founded Shannon to have a community center, it's taken us 22 years to get to that point, but in the last 3 years we've become totally debt free and started accumulating excess money, so it's not, for a long time it was we couldn't afford it, people put the money into their own houses rather than a common structure.
Yeah, we postponed
that dream.
We postponed
it to
put electricity
to different areas on the farm.
We postponed it to build the pond.
They
postponed it to build it. We had to buy an additional
25 to 30 acres
that came on the market. It was right at the heart of our community.
Yeah.
So
those were big ticket items. Those have all been paid off. So now
we're in a position
to
spend
bucks and build
a community center.
Mm-hmm. And looking back on things, do you feel okay about that, or do you wish maybe you built the community center the first thing? Before you built any of the dwellings, or would that not have made sense?
It wouldn't have been. It couldn't have happened just because the first thing we had to do was pay off the land.
Uh huh.
And
that took
us 10 years.
Yeah.
Then
these other things.
Yeah.
But maybe
what we should have
done right
from the beginning
was emphasize
the fact,
or plan for the fact of a community
center more.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people moved here and sort of forgot
about.
Or weren't aware that
we had this
idea of a community center
in the back of our heads. And then when we were saying,
all right, now's
the time to build a community center,
they're going,
oh,
gee.
What community center?
Yeah.
We didn't.
You know, Shannon doesn't have a buy-in like a lot of communities where you have to put money up front. And that's changed. That changed our financial situation because people weren't having to put up $10,000 or $20,000, what some communities were asking.
Mm-hmm.
And so we never really had
that much money.
Yeah.
And the fact that we had, $250,000 debt in the land that was to pay off.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't
a high priority. In hindsight, I wish we built the community center 10 years ago. But
sure.
But it wasn't
practical.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I'm curious about names. Like, how did Shannon Farm get its name?
The Shannon Farm got its name because we bought the farm from the Shannons.
Oh. Okay.
And we never could come up with another
name.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have all these
contests.
It was a raging debate in the community about what we were going to call ourselves, and we couldn't come up with anything that we liked. So stay with Shannon because of many
green
herds.
It's very green.
And
so.
Most people didn't know the Shannons,
so it wasn't.
There were negative connotations with them.
But
it's
some of us
pretty.
Were
the people that had
dealings
with Mr. Shannon. He had died.
He was.
We had the same kind of feelings, but.
How about names for the different clusters?
If we didn't name it Shannon, it would have been
named
New Jefferson.
Well, not necessarily.
Really
that was somebody lobbying heavily for
New Jefferson.
Somebody was loving.
Yes,
with all these Georgian condos
that we were going to live
were
in.
Were they serious?
They were.
They're no longer here.
Oh, okay. Now, this cluster is called what?
Mount Ararat.
Yes.
Mount Ararat?
It's
we didn't name
of
it.
We didn't name it, and
we're settled with that name forever.
Now.
Because it's become our mailing
address.
The
Caddy has put up a road sign.
Yeah.
It was Mount Ararat Hill.
This is a little redundant.
true it is, isn't it?
Oh, dear.
How do the clusters get names?
People in the clusters agree to the intentional group clusters. Well, I guess people that just lived in the places just got together and came up with a name.
Mm-hmm. So it wasn't the whole Shannon Farm.
Well, we all agreed to it. It was mostly what people
wanted. What they wanted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I saw, like, there's one called Cat Briar.
Yeah, that's what Jenny did.
And one called
Beach.
Right. Is that because of beach trees? Because it's beach.
Are there any beach trees there?
There are. You can't see them. They're across the
road. Oh, okay.
And then
Drew Nibidin
is one.
What does that mean?
Jenny mentioned that.
That's something out of, what's that out of?
The Hobbit
Tolkien?
Or something?
Yeah.
Tolkien?
No, it's not. It's a Celtic
name that
Kieran Bird and
Tony Meeker came up with. I'm not even sure if that's the right
term. Do you know what it is? It supposed to mean something?
Oh, something like
oak
stand or something.
I don't know.
They thought
it was Druidic.
Is the name of their street called
Drew Nibidin? No, it's part of
Shannon Farm Lane.
Oh, okay. So I was going to say, the county might have a hard time with that name.
It's kind of long.
Yeah.
And
it's a wildwood.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
And honeycombs across the another world.
Another world?
Yes.
And ladies.
Ladies.
Oh, that's pretty. Yeah.
That's nice.
And then each cluster has, what, like 5 or 6 houses in it?
Depends on the cluster. Mm-hmm. This one has 9.
Oh, wow.
It
depends on the cluster.
Most classes, I think, are 5 or 6 houses.
Yeah. The original concept was 5 to 7 houses.
Mm-hmm. And was the idea that they, like, the clusters would kind of have their own community spirit?
Well, intentional clusters. We had 2 kinds of clusters when we started Shannon.
People that got together to
form an intentional cluster. Those people really wanted to live together. They wanted to build a particular spot. And then there were clusters like this one that was already here. It was clear because there was a road up here. The second house that burned down was up here. So this was, anybody could build up here that wanted to. Mm-hmm. But since that time, we don't.
Right,
that has happened.
Huh.
Most of those people live up here, unfortunately.
Oh, dear.
It's true.
And they can live here because this isn't an intentional cluster.
Right.
And
but
doesn't
it's
get
full
to
now. There's no more room. Right. So the only way you can move in here now is if you take over somebody else's house.
Okay. Yeah. What about schooling for the kids? Did you guys ever have your own school?
We had a school for my kids. We did it with some county people, some alternative county people did. Has evolved into a school called North Branch, which is an alternative, it's a private school.
Mm-hmm.
But it started out of Sunshine School many years ago.
Have a lot of Shannon kids gone there?
At the time, a lot of Shannon kids did. A lot of Shannon kids now, I'd say half are go to public school and half are homeschooled. Well, maybe not half and half because some kids go to private school too, but I guess 2 or 3 kids go to nursery school, kids go to North Branch, but most of the kids now are either go to public or homeschool. My kids went to a private school in Charlottesville.
Mm-hmm.
But private schools are pretty expensive. People can't afford them.
Sure. Yeah. How did the school work out that you helped to start?
It worked out really well. Like I said, the teacher, it evolved into a school that's been going North Branch. It's been going, 10 years now? Sunshine School was 22 years ago. So.
But none of the community folks here use North Branch?
Yeah, they do. Oh. Some of the people do.
Mm-hmm.
Erica goes and Alden goes.
Bjorn?
No, Bjorn goes to Rockfish. It's expensive. People can't afford to send their kids to private school.
Sure. Would you say that there's much artistic expression in it, Shannon?
No.
No?
Well,
I don't know how to define artistic expression. I mean, are there a lot of artists here?
Are there a lot of sculptors and painters? No.
No.
Are there a lot of musicians? No, but there are people that like to play musical instruments.
Mm-hmm.
And
people
sing.
That like to. Well,
Virginia's
a potter.
Virginia's a potter, yeah. And our daughter is an artist who lives in Santa Fe.
Yeah.
She was a child of the communes. She can't.
Your brother's trying to be a screenwriter in San Francisco.
Wow. How did the kids feel about their growing up here?
They loved it. They waxed eloquent about how wonderful it was to grow up here. Of course, none of them could come back, but...
That's not true. Jason and Debbie. And
Debbie never was here as a child.
Well...
She didn't come back. She never lived here, Charlie.
I remember spending a summer with her out there camping.
Oh, God.
Yeah, all the Shannon kids, I think, very positive about their childhood.
Mm-hmm. Did they ever get teased by county kids for living in a commune or anything?
Well, my kids never went to public school in the county, so they never had to deal with it. I don't know if some of the other kids did. I guess Sina did a little bit, and then she switched to private school, too. Mm-hmm. Another 20. The kids now, it's not. There's no stigma attached to it. I never would let my kids go to the public school because I was a substitute teacher in school.
You knew how bad it was.
Yeah, they would cane the kids. It was like the teachers were given paddles and told to hit the kids if they misbehaved, and that just seemed really hard for me to deal with as a substitute teacher.
Sure. Well, what would you guys describe as the best part of living at Shannon Farm?
Knowing your neighbors.
The best part?
Yeah. Or if you can't name one thing, what are some of the benefits?
Well, I think, for me...
Living with our friends.
Just being totally comfortable with my surroundings. With the people, with the place, the weather, the house, just feeling very at one with everything. When I was younger, I thought that I would do a lot of traveling. I still have that bug in me, but I don't feel like I've wasted all that time being here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I haven't done as much traveling as I'd like, but when I do travel and come back, it's always nice to have a place to come back to.
Sure. Yeah. What about the flip side? What are some of the drawbacks or the hard parts?
Living with people that you know.
So the same thing as the benefit is also the drawback.
Yeah, I think that the land doesn't fight back. The land isn't disagreeable, but people can be disagreeable. Mm-hmm. They could be your friends, and they could slap you in the face verbally.
I think that one of the problems here is that we don't see ourselves as having a common vision. People see their differences rather than their similarities. I think part of that's from living together so long. But, you know, we talk about how different we all are. And I have to laugh when people talk about how different they are from other people because, you know, in terms of the larger society, we're all white. You know, we're all middle class. 90% of us have been to college. It's, you know, I don't think there's any registered Republicans on Shannon. I mean, but people seem to be focused on their differences, and I think that's one of the reasons why we haven't been able to get the community center built. Uh-huh. Some people don't want it. They don't feel that we need it. It's not a priority for them. They don't want to spend the money. You know, there's a lot of that kind of thing going on. We've been struggling the last few years with our identity as a community. Building the community center has raised a lot of issues for us in terms of, you know, do I want to spend the rest of my life here? Why am I living with some of these people? I wish they would leave. That
Well, for us, I mean, a community center is a, it's promotion. Having a community center is promoting the idea of community. And we don't understand why people, why are they in community if they don't want to promote the idea?
Exactly. What are their reasons given for not wanting one?
They're minimalist. They want to live so lightly on the earth that they don't want to build another building. They want to,
unless it has to do with building an addition to their own house.
Well, or, I'm just giving their argument.
Well, I know, but they're so contradictory.
Yeah.
And
they don't want to cut any
and
trees.
It's spending the money, cutting the trees, disturbing the soil, building something that people won't be using 24 hours a day. Yet, you look through history, you see a common building has always been an essential element of any sort of community.
That's right.
It's been a church or a grange hall or a meeting
temple.
Hall or a temple. Civilization's always had these common spaces that so the whole group can meet. Right now, we have, for the last 3 years, one of our big events of the year is our common shared Thanksgiving meal together. And for the past 3 years, our group's so large now that we can't do it on Shannon. We have to rent a place
sad.
2 miles down the road.
Yeah.
And that just doesn't seem right. Feel right to me. Although it's nice to have that place 3 miles down the road.
I was going to ask you about that. If you had any sort of celebrations or rituals as a community, Thanksgiving Day is a big one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any others?
We have solstice parties.
Mm-hmm. Solstice parties.
Do you have a founding day?
We have 20. We had a 20th anniversary party and
we had a 10th anniversary party.
And a mortgage burning party, and every summer or every other summer or something, we'll have a big party where we invite everybody in the general community and have a band and Twin Oaks comes. And,
oh, that's cool.
So
you guys have some interaction with other communities?
Mm-hmm. Some.
Mostly
yeah.
Through Dan and Jen.
Mm-hmm. Any besides Twin Oaks?
Well, there's a small group called The Gathering. We like to ask Dan and Jen about that.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had people from Spring Tree over here.
Mm-hmm. Not recently.
And there's a group down in southwestern Virginia. Somebody
Floyd has. County.
Floyd
oh,
County.
Light Morning, probably.
I guess.
Because I'm going to be going there. Yeah, Robert and Joyce Foote. And some other ones. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, when you look at Shannon Farm and you look at Twin Oaks, are you satisfied with
who we are?
In comparison.
I'd much rather be here than at Twin Oaks.
Mm-hmm.
I never would have lasted at Twin Oaks.
I agree completely. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you haven't been there, but I'm also envious of some of their common facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the contrast and see the way that they're successful in their model, and we've been somewhat successful in our model.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some common things, but there's also a lot of differences.
I think in terms of longevity, people have stayed at Shannon much longer than people stay at T.O. There's a few people that have been around a long time, but it's,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we used to joke about T.O. as
sort of postgraduate.
Postgraduate, school. Finishing school for hippies.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we're the retirement.
Right.
That's funny. Well, that does kind of dovetail into the next question I was going to ask, and that's a lot of communities from the era that you're started in haven't lasted. So what's special about Shannon? Why has it kept going? What's the glue?
I don't know.
I think it's one, the beauty of the place, and two, the commitment that you make when you build a house here. you're financially committed to this land, to this property. Mm-hmm. And also, I think generally it's been easy to do this. It's been easy to live here. You know, you don't have to struggle for work. People have found work, and it's an easy and a great place to raise a children. It's also a place that you can step back from. You can be a member of Shannon and not, as Cheryl made the case, maybe a little too strong, you don't have to participate. Your level of participation can be as much or as little as you want it to be. So it's very flexible in terms of what it requires from you.
If a group of people were going to form a communal living situation, what advice would you give them based on what you've learned about living at Shannon?
Try to start out with no fewer than 20 people. Try to have a good financial base.
Learn to trust each other.
Something we have not yet done. I think that...
Oh, and learn to compromise your vision.
Yeah.
To compromise what?
Your vision.
Your vision.
Because you're never going to get exactly what you want. And
what you
a
think
lot
you want.
Of people, when they're forming community, think that they've got this vision and everybody should step in line and follow that vision. And what you find is they're all a little bit different. And it's a compromise, and you just have to. As long as you compromise, you'll get some value out of it.
Mm-hmm. And what was the first one you said about 20 people?
Don't start trying to start a community with fewer than 20 people, because you're going to have a lot of dropouts, and it makes it a lot more stressful and harder to stay together. I mean, that's in my experience in communities around here that. You know, the smaller ones don't last because, you know, you're down to two people or you've got four people, and that makes it a lot more difficult to actually be a community. Mm-hmm. I think that you need a critical mass before you buy land, 20 people. I mean, that's where we were about 22 people when we bought Shannon, and, you know, out of those 22 people, within the first year, probably more than half dropped out and other people came. But mm-hmm. I think it also helps not to be younger. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think we could do Shannon today because we're, you know, in our 40s, we're much more set in our ways. And I think it's harder. I mean, I see Deer Rock and the struggle that they're going through. And those people are our contemporary, so they're doing it 20 years after we did.
Yeah.
And it's a lot harder for them.
Yeah.
So I think that helps to be young.
I think you're probably
young and
right.
Naive.
And maybe willing to live in cramped
right.
conditions for a while.
Right. I mean, when I think of the way that I lived when I first came here with two little kids, it was, you know, I wouldn't want to do that again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, there's something else I was thinking of and then I lost it. But I think I'm about down to the end of my questions. Unless there's some things you guys think I should ask you about that I haven't.
I was in the pizza place today and picked up this card.
Uh-huh.
This looks like a commercial version of Shannon. You heard about this thing called Horizons?
Is that the one down the road?
Yeah, down in Valley.
Yeah, Jenny talked to the guy.
Yeah.
These people don't know what they're doing. They have a lot of money.
Oh, Jenny talked about it at dinner tonight. She said it was going to cost a whole bunch of money to buy into
it. Yeah,
it
said it was a buy-in.
It's kind of what Mark Chanin tried to do and never managed to get together because of ego. I mean, they had no idea. They didn't know what consensus was.
Yeah, that's what Jenny said.
They didn't.
Yeah, she asked them if they were a co-op, and they went, huh?
They didn't know what that was, right?
Right. Oh, I know. I was going to ask if you guys had a food co-op.
No.
Well, at the beginning, we had a county-wide food co-op, Nelson County Food Co-op. That lasted for, what, a couple of years?
Was that a retail storefront, or was it a buying club?
No, it was just a buying
club. Uh-huh.
Right, we didn't have it. Charlottesville had. No, we didn't have it. I think once the health food stores came to Charlottesville, it kind of killed the co-op. I guess people are trying to start a co-op in Crozet. But we've got a Freshfields, which is, they just got bought out by people that do Bread and Circus.
Oh, right, yeah.
So we've got a natural food supermarket. We've got Integral Yoga, which is a natural food store. Mm-hmm. It's run by the
community,
the Yogaville
folks.
Group. Mm-hmm. And then we've got another store called Rebecca's, which a member works at, which is another health food store, which is sort of really more vitamins and homeopathic stuff. They do some produce as well. And then there's another, and I mean, there's like four health food stores in Charlottesville. So it's not, I mean, it's, you know, there's no need for it.
Yeah.
But 20 years ago, there wasn't anything. So, yeah. It's too hard running the co-op.
Was it a lot of work when you guys did it?
Yeah, it was a lot of work. And, you know, people would order and then they would pay, and then you're stuck with all the stuff, and what do you do? None of us had very much money then.
Yeah.
It was hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to go back to that stage. Then you argue about who bought. Well, you said you wanted 5 pounds of cheddar.
Oh, God.
Oh, I didn't. I only wanted 3.
Oh, well.
For you to order something and it wouldn't come in.
Right.
Then 3 months later it would come in.
Right.
And then you didn't want it anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. 30-pound bag of garbanzos.
It would take you like 10 years to get through, right? Oh, that's funny.
That was, I was a member of the Boston Food Co-op. And I lived in Boston. It was quite a big operation, but I doubt if it's...
Didn't it evolve into Bread and Circus?
I'm not sure.
Bread and Circus used to be
a food
co-op.
Well, I think the Cambridge Food Co-op.
Up into Bread and Circus.
I didn't know Bread and Circus started as a co-op. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it did. I remember going to it in Boston, because we had one in New Haven, too, an old A&P that we had.
Mm-hmm.
It was modeled along the lines of Bread and Circus. So we've gone up there to check it out.
Did you like being part of the Boston Food Co-op?
Yeah, it was fun.
Did you put in a work shift?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was nearby. I mean, it was like a bicycle ride, too. I was sort of put off by it. It was sort of in a garagey type building, so it wasn't as clean,
right,
as neat as you'd expect, but, you know, you could get virtually anything, you know, fish, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Big operation.
Yeah, that's thanks, you guys.
No.
I really appreciate your time.